Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Yo guys, welcome to The Last Lap.
Don't forget to drop a lovely, juicy 5-star rating if you're watching on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Hope you enjoy, and let's get into it. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. How are we doing? And welcome to The Last Lap Show podcast. How is everyone doing today? I hope you are doing well. I'm Niren. I'm joined by my lovely co-host in this beautiful top, I've got to say.
Thank you.
For those listening who can't see it, or for those watching who can't feel it, this is sensational.
It's a bit material. Fluffy. It's cold.
It's cold outside, man.
Baby, it's cold
Christmas
outside.
Christmas times. Oh, I like that from you.
Yeah, that's it.
We're doing stuff in song today.
We are.
How's life? We're both feeling a little bit worse for wear at the moment.
A bit under the weather.
Yeah.
But all the better for being here and joined by our guest today, who's on for the second time. Mad. McLaren Fan TV.
McLaren Fan TV, Pit Stop Fracker. Thank you for having me on, guys.
Pleasure.
No problem at all.
This time it's not 5 a.m.
No.
Yes. Yeah. This time we're not here for a Japanese Grand Prix and waiting 4 hours for it to start.
You came through clutch last time.
Yeah, 100%. So get me on for the Australian one. It's fine.
That's it.
Not a problem.
But obviously, I wanted to get you on specifically for this one because obviously one of the talking points is around McLaren because there's a big change going on at McLaren. And I guess, should we start there? Because that is the news of the moment.
The team principal musical chairs.
Stupidly silly season. This doesn't happen with team principals. This happens with drivers all the time, but team principals, no.
This is a new one. Like completely uncharted territory. Tuesday morning, waking up to absolute chaos.
I had to lay in. At 10 a.m., I'm still in bed. I'm like, 3 hours ago, it's posted that bloody Vasseur's gone to... I'm like... I love the
screenshots of people's phones where they're just getting multiple notifications. Within like a couple hours, Vasseur to Ferrari, Seidel to Sauber.
F1 graphics department was on overtime.
Yeah. Whoever's getting paid to make those graphics, they need to get paid more for that morning. That was
I've never seen that before in F1. Like that many musical chairs going on, and it kind of makes me think.
Not with senior personnel.
No. So for McLaren, it was a busy morning.
Yeah. Well, so I guess we should start with the first kind of, this all started with Binotto.
Dominoes.
Kind of like with Seb retiring, the dominoes fell after that.
Yeah.
But it all started with Binotto.
Yeah.
And then Fred Vasseur, which we talked
about. Freddie Vasseur.
Right choice? Ferrari?
Out of all the options out there and the realistic ones, I'm glad they went for someone not in-house. Because I was really concerned they were just going to promote an Italian man called Stefano.
You said it was the Jap man last time.
Yeah, I was really the Jap man. Yo, I'm here. I'm leading the whole thing now. I was really concerned they were going to do that. They were just going to rise like a promote from within, which like works well in certain situations. Don't get twisted, but I just didn't want Ferrari to hire someone because they were Italian again.
Yeah, if they decided we're going to bring in the head of strategy.
Yeah.
And strategy doing too well.
Yeah, you get
it. Well, there was talk of Lauren Mekis, who was, I think, he was head of like race operations, kind of what Stella, which we'll get onto when he first joined McLaren, I think he had a similar role to that. Right. So I was a bit concerned because it feels like with Ferrari, with the incompetences we've seen in 22, that they felt like bringing someone in from the outside. But like,
is it really outside though, Fred?
It's true. I mean, obviously,
it's inside
that connection.
Outside, isn't it?
Inside outside.
Yeah.
Is it enough outside to make a difference though?
I don't know. I think with that situation, they saw that Fred, he's at Sauber. Sauber's being overtaken by Audi. He's a Ferrari man. We need to get this guy into our team somehow.
Mm.
The Binotto situation was already on the ropes before he resigned. It looked like you're going to be pushed or you resign in that scenario. And they just wanted somebody that's already a team principal, already has that experience on the grid to kind of weather the ship. And somebody that's Charles Leclerc knows, because obviously Charles Leclerc was at Sauber. And
ART before that as well.
ART, yeah. They have that relationship already.
Is that where Vasseur had been, by the way, before he went to
Sauber? Vasseur founded ART.
Right, okay.
So he was there with Rosberg and Hamilton and won the titles there,
yes.
Right? So he's got a lot of experience.
Yeah.
Would I say he's had a successful time at Sauber? They've been a bit mid for the last 10 years. Middle of the road.
Very mid, yeah.
Considering their resources and everything like that. Obviously, he found Leclerc. He had Leclerc in the team. Leclerc did very well. Maybe John Elkins decided, okay, we just need somebody that can mesh well with Leclerc and kind of decide. Because there was a bit of friction at Ferrari between... because Binotto picked Sainz. That was his guy. And then you got Leclerc, who was picked by the previous regime. And there wasn't really... Binotto was really like, I don't want to stick to a number one driver. I don't want to name a number one driver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fred Vasseur is just going to say, Leclerc, you're number one driver.
Yeah, he's going to come in and...
It feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which you can argue, you know, you can't be competitive at the front and have two number one drivers. There always ends up being a bias towards one. Otherwise, you end up, you know, you'll spread too many of those points over two drivers, and then someone else will come in, a Red Bull with Verstappen, for example,
and just take all the drivers
and then just outscore you,
yeah,
because most of the points are going to one side of the garage.
The problem is with, like, just coming in and being like, cool, you are number one driver now, is that Carlos Sainz is going to go, nah.
And that's going to happen.
That is
going to happen. Carlos Sainz, he's going to be there, like, yeah, in the corner of the paddock, like, my son's number one.
Team Sainz ain't going to... Which, obviously, look, none of this is confirmed, but it's very logical to make those connections that, obviously, that Vasseur Leclerc relationship is strong.
Yep.
So it makes sense that... And maybe Ferrari have seen somewhat of the... I mean, we saw the whole, like, stop inventing... Like, there's been a few times where it's felt like that I've seen the question being put out there, you know, should they be pulling in, like if Leclerc was to really challenge Verstappen last year and Ferrari hadn't made their mistakes, I think Ferrari would have probably let themselves down by not prioritising Charles enough.
That could have been an issue. And it's happened before. We saw this go all the way back to 2007 when we had Alonso and Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to commit to a number one driver there, fumbled the championship.
Yeah,
true.
Because look at
Kimi came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So
it's a good point.
They're gonna commit to one driver at least. That's what I think Fred's gonna do. Is it gonna cause friction? Maybe within the camp.
Definitely.
And that will be box office, and I will have my popcorn because I want to watch that. But for anybody that's out there that's a Leclerc fan that or a Ferrari fan that thinks Leclerc is the number one driver, you're going to get that clarity,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, okay, so that was the kind of next domino to fall. So obviously, Vasseur goes to Ferrari.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, well, this is why I want to lean on you a bit more for this, Matt, because you were saying earlier this year, there was talk, murmurings around McLaren, from your perspective anyway, that Seidel could be going. Because it felt to me like it was out of nowhere, but actually maybe there was substance to it.
So long if everybody ago. Remembers all the way back to earlier in the year when there was Audi was like lots of strong rumours they're going to join Formula One and they want to make a deal. Mm-hmm. The first team they wanted to make a deal with was McLaren.
Yeah.
And for me and over at McLaren Fan TV, we thought, okay, that's because of Seidel. Seidel was already there.
Yep.
There's a connection there. Let's get this deal over the line. But obviously there might have been some disagreements with Zak Brown on what kind of direction they're going to go with and kind of Audi and McLaren that didn't go forward. Then I heard about Sauber having a deal with Audi. And then on McLaren Fan TV, we were like, okay, so Seidel has history with Sauber. He was there, in 2007?
Yeah, seven, like the Vettel.
Around the BMW Sauber days.
That's he was like 4 years he was there.
Yeah. He was there for a long time. He lived there and so on. And he was at Porsche, Volkswagen, Audi, everything comes together. And we thought, okay, when Audi do eventually come in, they're going to take Seidel because that's their man and he already has Formula One experience. So we kind of put the wrong energy out there because this actually happened. And I was like, oh,
you
God,
manifested, the wrong thing.
Once that Audi deal didn't go through with McLaren, and it went to Sauber, that we knew that Seidel would be thinking, okay, how do I get there? Because obviously, I think his family lives in Germany, the wind tunnels in Germany. And another factor that a lot of people are not taking into account is that he's got a CEO job. So the only way he would have been staying at McLaren was if he takes Zach's job, and Zach's not going to give him a job.
No, no way.
And it's a very different job that Zach was doing as well, right? Because Fred was CEO, wasn't he?
Yeah, Fred was team CEO, principal. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Fred was both.
Yeah.
So Seidel could be both, but it's not guaranteed.
I think in the statement they said they might be looking for a team principal. I'm not sure. He might decide to be the team principal, but I think it's just it's a larger project. He's at home, basically. He knows, he's familiar with the team. It's a promotion in a sense.
So you
can't really turn that down. And Zach Brown could have gone the wrong way about it and said, okay, look, you're contracted to 2025. I'm going to put you on gardening leave until that contract's up. But obviously they have a good relationship and decided. And it kind of makes me think as well that Seidel told Zach a long time ago.
Well, I think Zach said that Seidel had told him like middle of 22, around then, that I'm not going to renew at the end of 25 when my contract ends because I'm going to go to another team. And then Zach kind of put two and two together. Like you've done it.
When are they joining?
But how big of a loss is that for McLaren, do we think?
See, that's what I was going to ask. Like, how is that actually going to, like, how do we think that's going to affect McLaren? Because obviously they promoted Andrea Stella, right, from in within.
From within. Nice. Again, ex-Ferrari man.
I believe they've done that to limit the amount of letters they have to change on his door.
Just get the Tippex and just every S, just remove
just
the
every
S.
Single, S every single hoodie, jumper that had ASS on there, they don't need to change it.
Exactly. Rebranding. Calm. You're living your life. But I guess you're the most...
Yeah, so
you're actually qualified.
I was waiting for a bit more insight. You're like, that's it.
That's quality insight.
That's my insight. This is the insight that I bring to the table.
Okay, so Zach had a lot of time to think about it because he knew that Seidel was going.
He did.
He didn't know he was going to go in 2022. He thought he was going to go in 2022.
But he knew the writing was on the wall.
Knew his writing was on the wall. He's probably scouting who's going to replace that situation. It's different to other situations at other teams because he was just the team principal. He wasn't the CEO. Zach was doing a lot of the, like, the media, handling the whole team. And a lot of other teams, that guy, let's say your Toto Wolff's, has to deal with the whole thing, the whole scenario. So if Zach left, that would be a nightmare. Mm. But with Andrea Seidel, with Stella as well, Stella was his number two. He kind of understands the day-to-day operations that's happening within the team. He held a lot of different roles at McLaren as well. So
he was head of ops, he was performance director, and then he was executive director.
Exactly. So
everything.
He was at McLaren when it was the dark
days. He was the only guy in board.
This is like ninth.
Well, he joined in 2015, where you were ninth.
Yeah.
And then you were sixth, ninth, sixth, and then fourth, third, fourth, fifth.
That's impressive.
You can tell I've just made a video.
He's a closet McLaren fan.
Yeah, he is, man.
But like you said, he was there in the dark days. So he knows what bad looks like.
GP2 engines.
And GP2 engines, the whole lot, the whole Honda debacle, all of that. So I think he's going to steady the ship a little bit, just carry on what Seidel was doing.
Nothing's going to change overnight.
I think because he was responsible for the day-to-day running of the team, like we're talking about pit crew, race day, everything like that, that's not going to be an issue for me. I think even he said in his statement, he wants to kind of look at the factory side of things, how things develop with James Key and how we're going to move the car forward. That would be the question marks for me on Andrea Stella, but everything else, I'm not really too worried about. And a lot of the responsibility of a team principal within McLaren is kind of held back because Zach does a lot of it.
Yes.
Zach does the media, Zach does the driver contracts.
But it allows them to focus on the stuff that they need. Like, I feel like part of the reason Binotto didn't work is maybe he was stretched too thin based off his skill set. And it's like they know where, like, Stella's, you know, been at McLaren. This is going to be his ninth season at McLaren.
Yeah.
He also had 14 seasons at Ferrari.
Yeah.
He was like in the Schumacher era.
Yeah,
he was
knows the sport inside out, knows success inside out as well.
Mate, all of those...
People in the paddock know him.
Mate, yeah. you know when Alonso was struggling to get past Petrov?
Yeah.
And the team radio was like, we know how talented you are. Use all your talent.
Yeah.
That was Stella.
Mm. So, if you asked me 10 years ago if Stella would be the team principal of McLaren, I'd have laughed. No way at all. But I would rather have somebody that's been in Formula 1 for that long, held lots of different roles, in leadership roles as well. He's in senior roles. He's not just somebody that was quite technical. So Binotto, when he had his promotion, he was obviously the technical officer, chief technical officer.
Yeah.
He was dealing on the engines on, but he wasn't really there on race day, dealing with the day-to-day running of a team and dealing with the politics within that.
I don't think his skill set aligned with what it means to be a team principal as much as Stella's does.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think that's the most important thing with team principals. Obviously, when people say, oh, who is Stella? Who is this guy? We don't know him. And you'd rather want somebody that's a team principal that's known.
Yeah.
I think that's sometimes a false narrative because a lot of the team principals now, when they did get that opportunity, they didn't have any experience.
Mm.
As a team principal, we saw Wolf was like an investor, Toto Wolf was an investor.
Mm.
And then we had like Christian Horner. He just came in fresh. He was like, they took a real gamble on Christian Horner. So
he
it's just...
Like he just had a GP2 team, didn't he? You know, he's like Jardin.
So you're really looking at... You're really just looking at how can this person lead a team? Do they have leadership skills and so on? And can they manage the day-to-day operations and everything that's going on within the team? I think in Newton McLaren as well, like I just said, the politics are going to be less for him because Zach would deal with that.
This is why I don't think they needed a big name necessarily. Like, I think there would have been pressure if Zach wasn't taking control of that. But they can bring in...
He's doing a good job of that as well. I think if you were coming in as the CEO of McLaren, just like, nobody knows who you are. Like, not nobody knows, but like, you've not done that sort of role before. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. That's completely
different. Look what Zach had to do when he got in. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Stuff. He had to change engine supplier.
He had to
like reformat the whole team, get the spirit and morale up, change the whole brand, get new deals. Because there was a point in time where our car had like two sponsors on it.
Now
it's just flooded with sponsors.
Time where it was just blank orange. Crazy.
This is why I'm quite positive about Vasseur as well, because he's got that. Like, I remember when he joined... when he joined Sauber from Renault, I think they had a deal for Honda engines that within his first like week, he just like ripped up and was like, no, we're not going Honda, which obviously maybe long-term might have not been the best choice, but he's prepared to make those big calls and those big decisions.
Yeah.
With Stella, he's kind of steadying the ship somewhat.
He just comes into Ferrari. He's like, we're not going to Ferrari next season.
Yeah.
We're getting Mercedes engine.
Yellow livery.
Yeah.
Done.
And I think the pressure's less as well because...
There's less eyeballs.
Less eyeballs. And the plan at McLaren is much more long-term than immediate success.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So Vasseur's under more pressure because he's at Ferrari and they're expected to be winning right now.
Yeah. Well, next season.
With McLaren, it's much more long-term. We're looking at 2024, 2025, 2026. And it's about how he sets that up.
Before we move on from McLaren,
yeah,
if it wasn't Stella, were there any other names that you would have liked to have seen?
I always thought it was going to be within. And I thought it was going to be maybe somebody from the IndyCar team or somebody from Extreme E. I forgot the guy's name. Obviously, it's now McLaren's team. It was Mercedes.
It's
one back-to-back constructors. That team principal there.
Oh, the Formula E team.
I forgot his name, but I thought.
I know you mean,
it could have been him. But I always thought it was going to be somebody outside of Formula One, not somebody within. I didn't think it was going to be like randomly Binotto. Just like Paddy Lowe come out of nowhere.
Well, a lot of people saying Binotto, which obviously I can see where people get the. But I just think like he needs to go to a technical role.
And that's why I was so surprised that Ferrari let him go. I thought they were just going to shift his role somewhere. Like, you know, them like, oh, this is a promotion, but it's not really a promotion. They're like, go back to the factory.
Yeah.
Type of promotion.
We'll put you the same in it, just leave.
Yeah. Or because you can't, clearly Ferrari made a good car. They didn't have like a terrible car. They had a car that won races.
Can't argue with that. Yeah.
So for you to lose an asset like that,
yeah,
it's a problem. You could have even brought in support.
Yeah. The options for Mattia aren't massive. But talking of back to Seidel briefly, going to Sauber.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty big win for them, isn't it, surely?
It should be huge, realistically. I mean, obviously with the future backing of Audi, I think that's just going to be a sort of one of those match made in heaven sort of things, you know, with Seidel going there. I think they've just, like, he's got to turn around a bit of a ship that, like, kind of, has been, as you said, a bit mid over the last few years.
Very mid. And very mid.
For the facilities that they have, like the wind tunnel they have and all that sort of shit.
And they've had financial difficulties and all that, but obviously Audi's covered in.
Yeah, to, I mean, that shouldn't really be a problem. Yeah, they should be able to alleviate that. Poor end to last season as well.
So bad.
Really poor. I mean, I don't know what percentage of points they earned from like the first half of last season, but it must be at least like 80%, I reckon, of the points that they earned in the first half of the season. So he's got something to turn around, but yeah, it's a big win for Sal.
It is a big win, and it's I think they're a major threat to other teams because they are making these type of moves. Mm-hmm. They've got all the infrastructure ready. They have the finances as well. They've got somebody that was Seidel, maybe a top three principal on the grid to kind of guide them forward. We're going to probably see them make moves in terms of drivers as well later on down the line and try to set up the lineup. So when they get to 2026, they're all set up.
They're
basically doing what Mercedes was doing in the early 2010s and kind of like setting themselves up for when the new regs come in. We're there.
But this is like my perception of that team now. Even though I knew Audi were coming in anyway. Just getting Seidel, who's such a respected name and has done such a good job at McLaren, I think just gives so much more stock. And now you can make a compelling argument, which I think this is why I'm so excited for like the next few years. I really do think it's gonna close up because you can make a compelling argument for loads of teams now to join that top battle. You can make Alpine have got the next best car. McLaren infrastructure.
Unbelievable lineup.
Getting there. Unbelievable lineup moving forward. Aston Martin. Obviously, once that new factory is complete and, you know, Lawrence Stroll's going to put the money that, you know, even if he's losing money, he's still going to put money in. Yeah. Now, obviously, with Sauber, you've got that, you know, that faith. And with Seidel in charge, I think that's really
And then you've got Williams. Exciting.
Albon. They've got that's all you need. And you just need Alex Albon. That's it.
And you've got Haas. Haas has got America.
Haas has come.
All you need is Alex Albon.
Honestly, I think you made a good point there. And I think as the cost cap comes into the effect, because people think cost cap was going to be an immediate thing and how it's going to affect teams because...
No, never.
It's going to take 3, 4, 5 years because...
Your facilities aren't included in that.
Like. Exactly. If you've got infrastructure there already, you're at an advantage. Yep. So that's why you see your teams like Aston Martin and McLaren saying, okay, we need to step this up infrastructure-wise because it's not possible. We can have more wind tunnel time and same amount of money as them, but... We can't build a better car because they have better facilities. Mm-hmm. And they probably have the money to have higher number of staff. They've got the expertise there in terms of the engineers because they've been working on those cars for so long and they know how to use those wind tunnels. As the years go by, as they get less and less wind tunnel time, it's going to hamper them more and more and it's going to bring them down that way. And these guys are going to be brought forward. Okay. And when you get to a point where it's like 2025... We're looking at more, hopefully, an even grid.
This is a bit of a tangent, guys, so bear with me here. But do you remember the last time when there was a cost cap or they wanted to introduce a cost cap in like 20, I want to say it was like 10. And they were like, yeah, let's get all these new teams into Formula One. Obviously, we've got Caterham, we've got Manor, we've got HRT. Let's just do that again. Let's do that again with the current cost cap. Just get random names like Stefan GP and US...
Tomo GP.
Tomo GP today. There was that US team as well.
There's this fella in Hong Kong who wants to set up a team.
Oh, yeah.
He's gone on record. Yeah.
Let him do it.
Like this multi billionaire.
Yeah.
Who wants to set up an F1 team out of Hong Kong. Maybe this is the new world we're living in.
A lot of the top teams are reluctant to let anybody in.
If they're not letting Andretti in,
they're not
letting some random geezer from Hong Kong set up a team. That's not happening.
We can't start a team. It's not happening. They're not letting us in.
Nah, we're building our legitimacy.
They treat it like a private club. Okay, obviously they've got the pie, they want to split it their own way and stuff like that. I would love to see a 12-team grid.
If Haas, by the way, is saying, we can't allow new teams in, then we need to elbow them in the... Because they've just got
it. Well, when it comes to engine, there's been rumours about Ford, which they've not denied, potentially interested in 2026 engine race. Honda have put themselves on the list of actual, you know, submissions for 2026 as well. They're back again. Like, that's the thing. We can definitely get to a 12-team competitive 12-car grid.
That so easily. It's just about the teams actually not being dickheads.
Basically.
Letting someone in.
Basically, just stop being dickheads.
Please, for the love of God.
It's calm.
Well, they're looking at it like it's like a franchise model. They don't want to let people in the club, like same like in the NBA or the NFL. They don't want just random teams.
You're short-sighted, man. You're short-sighted.
It's done. Short-sighted. Okay, well, just someone link up with Andretti. Sort of keep the branding in there, like write Andretti on the side, but it's Ford. Just say it's Ford, but it's got Andretti written on the car. Well, now they can't say no.
I think in 10 years, the whole grid's going to look different. It's going to be sick.
Someone's going to take over AlphaTauri in the next 2 years.
Oh, easy.
I definitely think the grid is realizing in this day and age, you cannot win a championship with like being a customer team.
Yeah, 1,000.
Oh. Like buying an engine from somebody else. That's not, you have to have a deal there with somebody.
Yeah.
I think the Red Bull Renault days.
That's all.
That'll be the last of it, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Bring back Minardi, mate. Fuck the feds. Let them make their own engine.
Imagine that.
Minardi engine.
Well, we're talking to bringing back Schumacher.
Yeah, man.
Mikal. Mercedes.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Reserve driver.
Replacing, I guess, Van Dorn, De Vries, who were their kind of reserve drivers. Van Dorn's gone to Aston Martin now, and De Vries is now at AlphaTauri for 2023.
Yeah.
I'm happy for Mick. And I'm not surprised. I think this was a matter of time.
It made sense, didn't it? German driver whose dad has had obviously links at, I was about to say at the club. No, this isn't a football podcast. At the team.
Well, Mercedes paid for Michael Schumacher's debut at Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They paid like 200K, didn't they, or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They gave Eddie Jordan the bag to give him the seat, and then he got P7 in qualifying.
Eddie was like, oh, shit.
And then Benetton were like, yoink.
The history is there.
Take him.
Mm. And they want to carry on that history by bringing Mick in. Mm. You're looking at somebody that's what? Formula 3, Formula 2 champion.
Yeah.
Didn't go too well at Haas.
I mean, he obliterated some cars, I hear that. But it wasn't like
Pace wasn't a massive
issue. I felt like the pace was all right. I think it's a good step for him, especially to just stay in the paddock as well. Because I was a little bit concerned for him in terms of like, yeah, he's cool, he's lost his seat. And then, well, he might still be around for like an Audi seat in 3 years. It's like things are going to have changed by then. There'll be like a new kid on the block. There'll be new sort of drivers that are more attractive by then. So it's good for him to just be able to stay in the paddock. Like obviously with Daniel Ricciardo going to Red Bull, it's good just like keep your foot in the door. Just say like, oh, there's a seat
It's a people business. Like.
It's my cover letter.
Your face has to be on the paddock. You can't be outside, out of mind. You have to be there if you want to get a seat again. Mm. We saw that with Albon last year.
Yeah, million.
Because he was at Red Bull, he was there. Got that Williams seat.
Yeah.
So you have to be in and about. And Mick's going to go from, he's been at Haas. He's going to Mercedes. He's going to state of the art facilities.
He's going to learn a lot, actually.
He's going to learn a lot. Yeah. He's behind Lewis and Russell. He's going to learn a lot and be in that situation where it was a bit awkward for him to be at Haas, especially with all the crashes. And those crashes mean something for those teams.
Yeah. If he crashes it on the sim, it's all calm.
It's all right. If he crashes,
unless he breaks.
If he crashes it in a. If he crashes in a practice session, random practice session at Mercedes,
only
guess
Mick,
what? They'll just fix the car.
Yeah, exactly.
Only right. Mick Schumacher could find a way to crash in the sim and break the sim. The Destructor's champion.
Toto, the sim's on fire. What's going on?
He's Micking it again. Sorry. I'm sorry, Mick. I'm joking, of course. Listen. I think given the pace that he showed, demonstrated in Formula One, I don't think pace was a massive issue. I just think that, you know, for a team like Haas, they don't need a driver like that. That they need someone who they can rely on. They're not going to be prepared to take that same risk.
It was just one
risk.
Of those matches that just didn't work.
It didn't work
out. What Haas need in terms of what Mick Schumacher is as a driver.
But you know what? That Alex took the L. He was off the grid for a year, came back doing well. I think also it's not just, you know, it's like anything in life, you know, you learn most from the things that go wrong. And it's like, yeah, it's not worked out for Mick. He needs to understand how much of it was in his control, how much of it was just, it wasn't a right fit for Haas.
And how much of it was ironically him just being out of control.
Do you know what? Honestly, I think with Mick, being in that situation and then being in this one, it's like completely different ballpark. Mm. I think the pressure of just not crashing.
Yeah.
At Haas, when you know, it's like they've got so little money compared to everybody else. They can't afford any of that. And now you have to think about Steiner's thinking of having Mazepin and him at the same time on the team, two rookies. What did you expect to happen? If you've got no money, you put two rookies in a car, what do you expect?
They just did not care.
I think it was almost like, right, we're getting so much money from this Mazepin.
Yeah.
We don't give a fuck, what happens?
Yeah.
Like, if we're last by 3 seconds, a lap, boom, calm, whatever. We're getting the paycheck.
What if the logic was they're so slow that they won't crash because they're not near anybody?
Well, that's probably the minimum thing they were hoping for. Yeah, and then that they were like two of the most, especially Mick.
They didn't think about Latifi.
They didn't think about them just crashing with each other or just on their own. Yeah, there was some
bad decision.
It was Bahrain. We shouldn't really talk about this for very long, but it was Bahrain, like just like 2021, like corner four.
Oh, God.
Mazepin out. Restart.
I predicted that. I tweeted that. Before that I swear to God, I tweeted Mazepin out for turn four before it happened. Before it happened, and I just knew.
You called the side, mate.
I called the listener.
You knew, man.
Magic Mahab, man. So, do you think Schumacher gets back on the grid 24?
Not 24. Because if something happens at Williams, maybe. If something happens where Albon moves,
I
think Sargent will still be there.
Yeah.
But it depends on our.
But the thing is,
as well,
like, both Albon and Sargent were brought in. Capito specifically went for them too. So he got Sargent in the Young Driver program.
And then he's dipped.
When he joins.
Yeah.
Now Capito's gone. So you were saying earlier about with Binotto bringing in Sainz, and that was his, and then he inherited Leclerc.
Yeah.
You do wonder, obviously, it depends massively who comes in at Williams as well, takes lads over, and whether they see Sargent and Albon as being the future.
Lads, F1 is so cutthroat. Yeah. This whole Nico Hülkenberg does like two races and then he gets back on legacy settings, XP. Yeah. That does not happen often, yeah. Stoffel van Dorn, backup driver at Mercedes for the longest time.
Yep.
Never got a sniff of getting back into Formula 1.
I still feel bad for Van Dorn.
I still feel so
I'm
bad
like, Van Dorn, come on, man.
This sport did him so dirty.
I didn't think he was
dirty.
That bad at McLaren. I was like...
He was against Fernando Alonso.
It's a, long day. But if he, with the pedigree that Van Dorn had, is in that sort of like, yeah, cool, I'm a Mercedes reserve driver. And I know De Vries managed to, but again, quite rare. And also De Vries has the pedigree of being an F2 champion and a Formula E champion. Yep. I think if Mick Schumacher went off and did something like that, went off and like in 2024 was like, right, cool, I'm gonna keep my Mercedes reserve role so that if, you know, by some madness they need me, cool, I'm there. But I'm gonna go off and do Formula E. I'm gonna go win Formula E. I'm gonna go do something crazy. Then Cooley puts himself back
out
in the shop
window. DTM, there's like Super Formula.
I feel like that's rare occasions though, because how much times have we seen talented drivers, young drivers, get that opportunity in Formula 1, get dropped, never come back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's always a new conveyor belt. Like the F2 grid next season is due to be ridiculous because the F3 one of this season was mental. So there's going to be like...
Behrman.
Yeah.
Stanek as well, like they will.
You say Maloney as well.
Maloney,
yeah. I mean, and the guys that were in F2 last season, who like your Dennis Haugers, who it didn't quite work, but could still do well.
Porsche,
like Mick Schumacher was like E9 in his first season F2.
It's so nuts. Many names.
People are knocking on the door at all times. So if you've had your opportunity already,
yeah,
it's hard for you.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's tough.
There's absolutely no guarantee in this sport beyond any. Mm-hmm. Although what there is a guarantee of is. Oh, that doesn't even work as a segue. I tried to do it smooth, but it's not. No, we've come up with another little section for this, and we wanted to basically discuss around 2023. So with all of the drivers, all of the teams in 2023, if it was up to us three as individuals to put together, and you can't just say all McLaren, to put together.
You got me. Oh my God.
Our perfect team. So one driver, two driver. Team principal, maybe pit crew, maybe strategists,
okay,
maybe even livery, based off what we think we're going to see in 23. Who would we go with? I guess let's start with the more mundane stuff. Who are we picking for pit stop? Because your boys dropped quickest pit stop in 2022, didn't they?
Legendary stuff. They've been in the gym, creatine, all of that. Bigger wheels. I was shocked. I was like, you lot are on smoke. I don't know what's going on here. You lot are doing crazy pit stops. Like,
Liver King.
Obviously, I'm going to pick... Can I pick McLaren for this one?
You're allowed to pick McLaren.
Obviously, I could pick Red Bull, but they're the two that was outstanding this season, the two teams.
They seem to have the... It's Red Bull and McLaren, isn't
and,
it?
And it was a big change as well because the tyres and the wheels were much bigger.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they were much heavier. A lot of teams that were quite good last year kind of fell off. But
getting
clearly,
1.9 still is crazy at this point.
I would still go Red Bull just because consistently they were still really quick.
Oh, I think you see the top 10? It's just Sergio Perez.
Yeah.
Just Sergio Perez.
I was about to say, like, McLaren, obviously, you have that number one spot, and it's definitely between them and Red Bull, but Red Bull consistently, like, every single pit stop's like a 2.2.
Yeah.
Like 2.3, 2.2, 2.4.
That Milton Keynes gyms, they've been in them.
That's all that's in Milton Keynes, bro. That's all they can do. Just gyms. There's no distractions.
Gyms and roundabouts.
That's it.
Fitness on the roundabouts, man. Just riding in circles.
In the middle of the roundabouts, just doing.
Yeah, so I'm going for McLaren pit stop.
Right. Strategy? Who
say Ferrari.
It's Ferrari.
Who drops the bomb least?
Drop the.
From a strategy.
I don't think McLaren have been great strategy wise. In the last couple of years,
I don't think maybe. Obviously, it's always working with the driver as well as just making an objectively correct call. I think Mercedes are a bit wobbly on the old strategy front as well. To be honest, I think they were so good in that dominant era that they, I'd argue, maybe got a bit complacent. There's been quite a few times where they've not.
Yeah,
like them and Lewis just not seeing eye to eye. Them and George not seeing eye to eye.
Yeah, I feel like they don't. Listen to their drivers that much. I feel like we constantly get a situation where Lewis is kind of like, yeah, I want to do this. And the team are like,
which is it's part of your strategic decision making has to be listening to the drivers.
Yeah. The drivers are the ones out there. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. And we saw with George when he was at Williams.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
He was dictating the strategy quite a lot, so then he went into Mercedes. Yep. He was like, what the hell are you guys doing?
Yeah.
And a lot of the times he was like, can I do this? And they were like, no. And they're like, but this is the right strategy.
But
so
why? I want to play.
I don't know. Maybe you get a bit complacent when your car's fast.
When your car's
so fast.
So I wouldn't
down the
pick
road,
Mercedes.
I wouldn't pick Mercedes just because.
Who am I even picking
for
this?
I don't know, man. I'm not picking Ferrari.
We're definitely not picking Ferrari. I think Red Bull are obviously a shout, but they've also made some blunders that I think would have been capitalized upon more if Ferrari knew what the fuck they were doing.
Do you know who I'm picking?
True.
I'm picking Aston Martin.
I was thinking about...
Because Aston Martin, they've got a terrible quali car. How much places do they make up?
Stroll and Vettel, the amount of overtakes that they make in 22, were two of the highest.
The only thing was, did the Vettel in Abu Dhabi strategy...
Yeah, that wasn't great.
Was a little bit mad. But that is about it.
They
fair.
Rolled the
they
dice.
They were like, sayonara. Let's give you a bad strategy.
They rolled the dice for no reason because he was already... I think it was almost like they were already in a good place. They were like, what the fuck do we do
now? I think they thought they had to roll the dice because they had to get a certain... Like, they had to get at least six points, I think, which obviously for Aston Martin was always going to be difficult. So I think they rolled the dice, anticipating that they'd have to... If they had played it conservative, they would have got the points in the end. But
the obvious choice is Red Bull, obviously.
The obvious choice is Red Bull,
but I still think there's a couple of mistakes in there every now and again.
Yeah, I mean, Haas did over Mick quite a bit as well.
What was that
strategy Mick had in Spain? That was horrible. Horrible.
Mate.
I felt so bad for him.
There were a few times where they... completely pulled the rug out of him. I'm trying to just think of anyone other than Red Bull who's really...
I couldn't tell you a single Alfa Romeo strategy.
McLaren,
sometimes we ever wonder, like, oh my God.
It's all or nothing.
Sometimes it's like, why have we not done this?
I just think, Red Bull have had every team's had issues, but I think Red Bull is the team that you would 100%. Trust.
You would want to, yeah.
Most. As
but
a driver.
To be different, I'm going to go Aston Martin as well.
Yeah,
it's a good shot.
Cool.
All right. Reserve driver.
Oof.
Who's back up?
So can this be anyone, or does it have to be someone who's a reserve driver right now?
I think...
I bring some ghosts.
No, you know what? I think reserve driver, let's just pick anyone who, anyone who could be...
A young driver. You can't, under 21 maybe? I don't know.
Mika Hakkinen probably wouldn't. Mm. I know he's still on sabbatical.
He's on sabbatical. I'm waiting for him.
I mean, you could go through if you really...
Could you imagine he just like next year was just like, I'm back. That's it. This is my sabbatical's over. He's I'm ready.
It says in my contract, I'm still a McLaren driver. Yeah. I'm just on sabbatical.
Got, like, waxed at the top of it.
One of you guys need to leave.
I patted him on the shoulder at F1 Arcade. I was really drunk.
Oh, wow.
I called him a legend.
He's
called him a legend.
He's a legend.
That legend, and he was
like, gonna love that.
Terrified, probably.
Don't touch me.
Can smell the Jaeger in your breath.
Probably. Yeah. No, what was I drinking? Gin, lemonade.
Oh wow! Yeah, you sophisticated.
Gin and juice.
Spin on gin and juice.
That's it. Who's reserve? Who's
who's
reliable backup when the vid comes to play, and then you've got a.
I think you've got to sing the famous Polish driver's name right now.
That one.
Yeah.
Robert Kubica.
Kubica.
Brings the bag. Which is a factor.
That is a factor, actually.
All the money.
Yeah.
And how important is it for a reserve driver to be good versus how important of it is that they bring in money that can make the team better?
Yeah. Because ultimately, they're not exactly going to drive very often if you're a reserve driver.
That's it.
If the COVID comes in, then yeah, you might do one race. Mm. But
people always pick, like... I even do this on F1 Manager. Like, let me just get the best driver possible in the reserves. And he's never going to drive. So what's the point of me having some, like, extraordinary driver there that's going to probably threaten
them? They'll be demoralised and they won't want to...
Yeah.
I'm thinking...
can you not choose Hülkenberg because he's actually on the grid this year?
No, they can't. He's a number one driver.
Yeah, he's actual driver. Isn't
he? Yeah. You know what? I'm going to say someone from F2 who I think's... pretty exciting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tarpusha. I think Tarpusha was very unfortunate this year. Maybe Jack Doohan, actually. No, Jack Doohan.
You picking Jack Doohan?
Jack Doohan.
I'm picking Ayuma Awasa.
Baller. Very quick in 20.
Unbelievable. I still think about that France drive.
Right. Yeah.
Unbelievable stuff.
Walked it. Very difficult to do. Works in his consistency. I think he'll be right up there in 23. Okay, Doohan Awasa.
I'm stealing him from Red Bull, even though he just signed for them. I'm having Zane Maloney, mate. For the pure reason that he's from Barbados.
Yeah.
And that's wavy.
Yeah. I love that.
And he was cooking in the last season.
He was cooking.
I was like, what is he doing?
If he'd not had like as many incidents at the start of F3 season last year, he wins the championship.
Mid-season, he wasn't even in the top 10.
Yeah.
He was nowhere near. And then all of a sudden, like when it was like Monza and Hungary and that, I was like, where's this guy come from?
After burners were switched on.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. That's a good shout.
Cool, good stuff from us.
I think he's back in Barbados now because I follow him on Instagram and I saw him post like yesterday.
Easy for Simon.
What a life, man.
Wish I was from
Bet it's not snowing over there.
Definitely not.
all right, livery. Livery. Obviously, we don't know what 23 livery, but based off what we saw this year, what would your livery be?
You know what?
Maybe. Also, it could be a livery, it could be an F2 team livery, maybe. Why not? Let's spread it outside of F1. What livery would you want to see on your car?
I'm not even going F2. I'm going to put the McLaren Arrows IndyCar livery.
Ooh.
But that's better than the McLaren livery.
I like,
I hear that. That's actually good. That's a good
one. That's a good one.
Facts. Yeah. I agree.
They've got some good liveries over there in IndyCar.
They do.
Yeah. I'm going for one of the past.
Ooh.
About today.
Go on.
Ooh, go on.
It's going to be orange as well. Orange Arrows, mate. Woo! We're bringing them back. The waviest... Not even wavy, but just like most standout livery ever. 1,000%.
Okay,
like
so can we do old liveries?
I don't give a fuck. Yeah, man. We're going old.
Whatever. I might go for that Jaguar HSBC livery.
Okay.
Old school.
Serious.
Nah, okay. I'm going JGTC, now known as Super GT. Not Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Castrol, hello, Supra, Toms.
Okay, now see, now we're just going crazy. That is amazing, bro. That is...
Bruv, that
went deep
that
in his bag right
livery now. Would look mad on an F1
Fuck
car.
Fuck it. Repsol from MotoGP. Slap that on a Formula 1 car.
Mate,
that'd
look unreal.
That would look unreal.
It would look sick.
That would look nuts. That livery would be...
Should I do McLaren bias and just say, I want to... West livery combined
with that's the greatest. You know, that's actually the greatest.
That's
the goat. That's the goat.
Marlboro.
No, combined. Original half the car. One side is like West, one side is Marlboro.
Oh,
Yeah, I mean, they allow drivers to change their helmet designs all the time. Yeah.
No, one thing I want McLaren to do, if you're watching this, guys, put the names on the side of the car now. Now. I've had enough.
Yeah, because...
I need to see Norris... No, no, just put the first name. Oscar Lando on the side of the car.
Yeah, because okay, they used to works. Do that, innit? Yeah, with the, that yeah that's gas. That would be so sick.
Same number of
even for
well.
One race, please.
Yeah, same number, five letters each as well. That kind of works.
Yeah, that's cool.
They put bloody Juan Pablo Montoya on the side of the car. So five letters is fine.
Yeah, but they didn't have his whole name.
Yeah, I know, but still, I was like, that's a long one.
Just imagine they carried on to like Heikki Kovalainen on the side of the car the whole
time. Just run out of space. You know when like, you write something, you have to write the letters really small at the end because you don't have enough space.
I can't see it. Come on. I can't see anything. Heikki
Kovalainen. Okay, team principal.
Gunter Steiner. Vibes.
That would be banner.
Vibes.
It would be banner. Would it be successful?
I get exclusive on his book as well.
Yeah, Survive to Drive.
Survive to Drive, easy, bro.
Oh, yeah, I need that book.
I need that yesterday. Right now.
So, picking out of the current
crop.
Current crop of team principals. Seidel. I love him.
Ripped in his face there.
No, I know.
That's outrageous. I wouldn't.
Well, breakdown right now.
Something wound. But I'm going Seidel.
I'm going Christian Horner.
He's the one that you want
if you need backing in any situation. Do you know what I mean?
I need my team principal to back my drivers no matter what, even if they're wrong. Don't matter.
You could have run someone over. Christian Horner will be like, yeah, but should he have been underneath the car? You know.
Yeah, Christian Horner's like, if the streets made a team principal.
The streets.
But he set up Arden in his back garden.
Is that why he called it Arden?
No, but I just realised that, right?
That's crazy.
He set up a Arden in his back garden and within 8 years took him to like one
F3000.
Yeah. This Matt, this...
I'm bringing him in.
Yeah.
I'm bringing him in. Fair. We need someone that's hated.
Sometimes you got to embrace it, ain't you?
Yeah, 100%.
My team, can we do team names as well, by the way? My team name's Vibes GP. Because I've got Gunter Steiner, I've got a Don from Barbados. We're going on the sickest holidays, bro. Season ends. Off season.
Yeah, man, your off season party.
You're going
off season team.
Yeah, that's it.
The whole season's geared up to go on the off season.
Yeah, on Vibes.
Headquarters in Gibraltar.
No, Panama. Needs to be a tax haven.
Yes, true.
Tax haven.
Yeah, no tax. We're not paying no tax, bro.
Yeah.
Okay.
None.
Okay. Team principal's done. Yeah, okay. Team name.
Or not. Oh, so team name. Don't even know. The Slaters. The Slaters. EastEnders.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The Slaters.
Phil.
Whatever. No,
they've got nothing left.
The Ian Beals.
The Beals, that's it.
I've got the Toms to our delivery, so.
That works.
That's what I mean, it just works.
Yeah. That's good branding is what that is.
It is.
That's great. Yeah. That's good from you.
All right.
Get the cat from Tom and Jerry on the side.
Yeah.
Driver lineup.
It has to be current grid.
Current grid. Two drivers who will work together. Important.
That's not a bad idea I had.
But the two drivers that you would choose. If you had free choice.
See, look, I'm a bit of a radical team principal. Mm. CEO, actually. And I just want chaos.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
in your own team.
I would have Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen.
Yeah, that's
imagine.
Good. That would be chaos.
Imagine, that would be amazing.
I'm getting P1. I'm leaving with something. I don't know who's getting P1.
Nah, P1 or nothing.
P1 or nothing.
P1 or nothing.
Hey, Charles going to have a amount of complaints.
No number one driver. That's the first line in their contract.
You can't do any team meets because the Verstappen and Hamilton fans would just be fighting each other.
Oh.
You can't.
And I'll tell them, do you want to win constructors or what? Guys, about the team.
You couldn't have a grandstand like, you know, you got the grandstand like Austria, where it's just all the, like, you couldn't have an equivalent of that because it'd just be everyone in fight.
Orange, half silver.
Mate.
It'd just be a brawl immediately.
Just throwing smoke bombs at each other.
Yeah.
That would be incredible. It'd be like Arsenal fans. It's like Wenger in, Wenger out. It'd be like that.
Yeah. That kind of dynamic. Be ridiculous.
It'd be lovely. We need that chaos.
It'd be lovely.
Sometimes we need chaos in F1. Like, I'm so looking forward to Alpine next season. I need that.
That's it.
The fact that these two drivers' parents can't be at the paddock at the same time. What?
Really?
Yeah, I heard that they have to go on separate days.
Really?
Yeah.
Allegedly.
F1 parents
because they're beefing
be
each other. Oh, they're beefing each other.
Oh, come on.
Allegedly. That comes from the parents, allegedly.
From like carting days or
whatever. Wow.
Allegedly.
Who's that? Allegedly.
This is all alleged, ladies. That's.
Hopefully they're fine. No.
Well, you'd hope they can put it behind them and not, you know.
Yeah, but yeah. So for my driver pairing, I want chaos and excellence.
Okay.
Lewis and Max.
What are you saying?
Oh, flipping heck.
It's tough, isn't it?
It's tough out here. Listen, right, so it's Vibes F1 settings.
I think I know who I'm going to go for.
I'm sure.
It's a bit off-piste, but I think in terms of working together really well to extract everything they can from a competitive package, bring back Carl Lando. Lando Norris.
That would work.
Carlos Sainz. Yeah, I think Carlos has got more to show. I think Lando's got more to show. I think they work together really well. I think even when push comes to shove, I think they could find a way more than most teammate parents can make to make it work. So Carlando's
back, ladies and gentlemen.
Carlando, bring it back.
I think for me, given the nature of my team, I'm going to have to go for two individuals that know what to do when they're in Barbados.
Yeah. You're just pinning your whole team.
Vibes.
The headquarters is going to be there. No, it needs to be low tax, doesn't it? Yeah.
Remember the paddock back in the day, Red Bull, when they first came in?
Yeah.
They were just
playing
like electronic music all day long.
Yeah.
All day. Yeah.
Who are these uncouth team have turned up? All this snobbery around F1.
Actually, that's another thing. Sponsorship. We're going to do a little deal with Red Bull. Yeah. For their engines. Or powertrains, whatever. We're going to run them if they sponsor us, and then I'll get Jägermeister as well to sponsor nice. Too. So free Jäger bombs for everyone in the paddock. It's sorted.
That's Super GT's dream, man. Big up, Steve.
I think it's my second drive. I'm going to go with Lando.
Yeah.
Because I think as a raver, I think he's pretty solid there.
DJ now, isn't it?
DJ is...
He is multifaceted.
DJ for the part. Oh, my.
He's the DJ and he's the nightclub photographer.
It works.
Well.
Yes.
Oh, my
there you go.
Days.
Ticks every box.
This is ivibesgp.jpg. It's going to go off.
Claim that Instagram account right now.
Right now.
Lad, I know exist. You're watching.
Claim it or not exist.
Have a word.
And then there's a second driver. Who else? Who else is like a...
Who would compliment Lando?
Who would compliment
That's
Lando?
The thing. That,
what,
where...
in the rave?
In the rave.
Yeah, him and Max get along well.
I was thinking that. Yeah. And for sporting excellence as well, that would be kind of crazy.
I think they would...
And... Here this year.
Yeah. Oh.
So
it's like an onion. There's like layer after layer.
Oh my, keep going. This is nuts. So obviously Lando come off the back of driving in an orange car.
Okay.
At McLaren.
Yeah.
Max Verstappen's branding. It is orange.
Yeah.
My car is orange, bro. Orange arrows.
Oh.
There's no need for anyone to change any branding.
Lando always jokes about that. It's like, oh, the McLaren fans here today.
Yeah, Zandvoort.
Yeah.
This is
for McLaren guys, not Orange Army.
Sorted, yeah. Lando and Max. That's what I'm going for.
That would be
a pure vibe,
tasty. Well, there was
and also ability.
Red Bull did kind of try and court Lando, didn't they?
Many a time. So
maybe one day it will happen. We'll see. Well, I think
it might happen.
Pretty solid teams, I'd say.
Well, that's solid teams.
Yeah,
those are crazy.
Decent. All right. Okay.
My Christmas party is the best out of the lot, though. I'm telling you facts.
We're going to your Christmas party. DJ Khaled's there as well.
Want to talk about... Mate, just Lando on the decks is just funny to me, man. Want to talk about Max briefly. Okay. Max talking about his future, because right now, Max Verstappen, through everything he says, through his, you know, the esports stuff he does, off track as well, is very much... it feels like racing is his... That's his thing, right? In terms of he doesn't seem to, not at least publicly, do much in a way outside
of racing.
Yeah,
but he's talked about his future numerous times and maybe indicate that he wouldn't be doing it long term. Is he going to be like a Fernando Alonso? Probably not. But he talked about Le Mans, wouldn't write that off in the future, wouldn't do IndyCar, But do you think
wouldn't
like
do IndyCar?
Wouldn't do IndyCar.
A lot of these drivers are scared of IndyCar. They don't want to do ovals.
Which
it is crazy to be fair.
Ovals are scary.
They are scary.
Yeah.
Like when you shunt,
safer, don't
you?
Like
when you shunt, you shunt.
Yeah.
Oh, we saw Colt on Earth last year. Indy.
Sketchy, man. But this is what I think. What makes Indy so good is that it teaches you in a lot of different ways, a lot of different like kind of fundamental. But do we think this? Because it's hard for me. Like Max says this, but then the evidence, as much as we can see from the outside looking in, anyway, seems to suggest that racing is his life, and by far and away the biggest thing in his life. So, do we think we're going to get a Max Verstappen that stays in F1 because he's still super young, stays in F1 well into his 30s? Like,
I personally think if he wins a lot, like back to back to back, like championships, and he gets like 6, 7, 8, whatever, he'll retire quite early.
I think it's because of like as well, it's like all relative as well. He started so early. So like a lot of people look at his stats at his age and go, oh my God, he's better than that guy because he's got this amount of wins at age whatever.
Yeah.
But he's been in the sport for, this is his like seventh season now? Mm. Or is it eight?
Wait, 2015 to now. So this will be his eighth season.
This will be his ninth.
Yeah, ninth, bloody hell. That's a long time. That's somebody's whole career.
Yeah, that's some driver's whole career already. So I think relatively speaking, I think he probably... I mean, there's no reason why he can't carry on because, again, like age, like Fernando Alonso is showing that you can still be so competitive into your 40s even. But I just think as someone who got into the sport so quickly, he might not lose a love for it, but might decide that his time has arrived earlier than someone else.
Yes,
because you know how many seasons you're in.
These drivers know nothing else. Like most of them start when they're 8.
Yeah,
Verstappen was starting when he was like 4, probably. Like Jos got him in straight. Like you've kind of got that military like approach that so many of these drivers have to take to get the opportunities to then get the experience and the skill to make it to F1.
Yeah, 1,000.
So my point is, if he wins a lot, then maybe the motivation dies a bit. He's like, F1 completed it, mate.
That's what Rosberg did.
Yeah. And that could kind of shorten his career if that's the case. But let's say, for example, he has a couple of close title battles, he loses a couple, and he's like, that's the motivation, that's the trigger. Okay, I need to get that back. If that happens and he gets into a lot of title battles that are quite close, he'll stay in F1 much longer. And it depends on the team as well.
Yeah.
Can you see him staying at Red Bull for his entire career?
When you look at F1, and look at all the F1 drivers, they do not stay at the same team throughout their career.
Mm.
Is that going to be the case? Is Max Verstappen going to be the outlier? Who knows? If Red Bull one day just does not have a competitive car, he'll be out that door because people will be like knocking on his door saying, come to our team.
Yeah. I hear it.
That's the thing. Like you say, motivation. When Lewis moved to Mercedes, he was motivated by a new challenge, taking a team that was struggling and building something kind of like Michael Schumacher did when he went to Ferrari. You know, Sebastian Vettel, when he left Red Bull to Ferrari, he was motivated by the dream of winning and doing what Michael did at Ferrari.
Yeah.
Nico Rosberg won and then retired. You know, Kimi Raikkonen carried on until, you know, his skills started to fall off ultimately. And it's like all these drivers are motivated differently. I would just be, it's one of them as well. Like, you know, Max is still mid-20s.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you even know, like, sometimes you just don't even know what motivates you. Like,
we would never know what motivates Max right now.
He might not even know what motivates him. You know what I mean?
And what motivates him now will change over that time as well.
Mm.
Like, whatever his goals now are in Formula One, 5 years from now, he might go.
You look at Vettel, Vettel's character arc as well.
Yeah, 1,000.
So. Like, it was all about, it was ruthless on track.
So you're saying he's going to get long hair, Max?
Like with Vettel, his situation, the motivation kind of died because he was no longer in cars that are winning races. Mm-hmm. And he's in a situation before where he was winning races quite a lot, or at least at a car that was up there.
Yeah.
So if it gets to a situation where he's in an uncompetitive car, he's going to jump ship, but then that's a new motivation and then just keep carrying on.
Mm.
I don't know. There's people like Fernando Alonso, they're like a bit of an outlier. Because this guy just races, not now. The guy left F1.
He loves.
He was doing up every single racing series.
See, this is what. So if it wasn't for the statements Max has made about there's more to life than F1. And
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I would have assumed that Max would go like Fernando,
yeah,
where get your own museum with a karting track. Whenever you're not racing, you're like racing in karts. You're like racing in cars. You're like, because Fernando still loves it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I mean. He's been able to keep that motivation, and he's motivated enough to stay in F1 and still want to be at the pinnacle of motorsport. He's 41 now. That's incredible.
Fernando will still be driving when he's like 50.
You have to assume. Something. You have to assume right now, as we speak, Fernando Alonso's racing somewhere in a go kart somewhere. He must be doing something. That's how he'd love for racing that much. But it's like right now, Verstappen, he's got how many wins? He's got 2 titles now. If he wins a couple more, he's already part of the greats of the sport. Mm-hmm. When you get to that point, when you start winning like 3, 4, 5, some people don't even win races.
Yeah.
Formula One.
Yeah.
And he's already got that. So right now he's in the position of, you know, like when you complete a video game and then you're just doing side missions now. Just like,
that's a good way of putting it.
That's a shout.
Playing GTA, he's delivering pizzas. Like, he's not doing the game anymore. He's completed the game. You get me?
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, but that's what I find interesting as well. Like, in 95% of ways, all of these drivers are just human beings like you and like us. Like, they're just, and we're all different. We all have our. But it's just, it's that thing that makes them special, that they've got that talent, and it's just how far do they take that? Do you do a Rosberg or do you do a Alonso, their prime example.
How dedicated are you to keep that going?
The craft. Which, there's no right or wrong answer.
No, because people are all different, you know? Like, Rosberg was like, want a title, I'm out.
Well, even like with Daniel taking a year out, you know, a lot of people have criticised that move, but ultimately, he feels like that's the best move for him as a human being, as a person.
Yeah.
And as long as he's making the right decision by him, then that is the right decision.
And it doesn't really matter what fans think or anybody outside. It's, that's his decision on what he wants to do. If Max Verstappen decides, okay, after, I don't know, 10 years, I'll just pack it in rather not race, that's up to him. If he wants to be driving esports, let him do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's it. Right. We're going to wrap up with the segment that we always wrap up with now.
We all know and love.
The Equal Machinery segment.
Indeed, indeed.
What do we do for this, Niren?
Well,
explain the rules.
We are all assigned a driver that may well be in the news or that may well be topical right now. And we have to argue that we think that in Equal Machinery, our driver would come out on top. So we had, what recently we've had, Lewis, Fernando Alonso and Sebastian Vettel. It was up to one of us, having been assigned, to debate that our driver would win.
Whether or not you believe that.
Whether or not you believe it or not. And then at the end, we all have to guess whether each person was being totally honest.
Yeah.
Or whether they were just spinning us a lie.
But we've gone a bit left field with this one.
We have, yeah.
We've gone with the Schumacher name.
Yes, because Mick Schumacher, obviously, having just arrived as a Mercedes reserve driver this
put himself
week.
Back on the map.
Put himself back on the map. There's obviously been multiple other Schumachers on the map. So today, we're going to argue which Schumacher would come out on top in Equal Machinery.
So I've been assigned Ralph.
Nice, nice. Big ups, Ralph Schumacher.
Niren's been assigned Mick.
I have got Mick Schumacher, yes.
And Mahad has been assigned Michael Schumacher.
Heard of him?
Yeah, I've never heard of him. Have you heard of him?
Good luck, Mad.
I'm going to have to do a Wikipedia search.
Jesus Christ.
I want Niren to go first.
That's fine. That's completely understandable.
Because obviously, you know...
obviously, we all know that he is the best. So, like, realistically...
Well, you've got the easiest job here. So, I'm going to give you a minute and a half.
Yeah, that's fine.
We did this last time. This seemed to work quite well.
A minute.
Make the calls for Mick Schumacher being the best Schumacher in Equal Machinery.
All right, okay. Here we go.
Go.
Now, look, listen, Mick Schumacher, the pedigree this guy's got, especially in the junior formulas, woof, serious business. F3 champion. Me, probably F4 champion, but definitely F2 champion. Yeah, in a field that was extremely strong, a seriously competitive field, yeah. He's come up into Formula 1, into a difficult Haas car. He's only spun it a few times. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? This car to drive is one of the worst. No, it is the worst car in recent Formula One history. Yeah, that has. It was a wheelbarrow, bro. In terms of like handling, yeah. He's come up through the ranks as the Formula.
I see you looking at that clock, man.
Hurry up! How long have I got to film?
You could have a minute.
As a Formula Two champion, he's only written off a few cars. As I said, he's shown pace alongside Kevin Magnussen. He's equaled him at times. And Kevin Magnussen, obviously, an experienced driver within Formula 1.
That's a minute. Again.
I thought that was pretty decent still.
How many times did he repeat himself there?
I don't know what you're talking about.
How many times did you talk
about? Is he an F2 champion? I don't know.
Nah,
I'm not sure.
Nah, never heard that before.
I honestly don't know if he was an F4 champion, but
should have brought a kart in or something.
Exactly.
Okay. Boom. Me, Ralph.
Honestly,
Schumacher.
I think yours might even be the hardest here.
Right. So, Ralph, always the bridesmaid, never the bride, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, the Schumacher name carries a lot of weight to it. Mm-hmm. And Ralph, I think, was genuinely a very overlooked and underrated driver. Consistent package, multiple podiums throughout his career. How many? I don't know. But alas, he did get on the podium on a number of occasions.
At least one time.
He got podiums. I'm pretty sure he got some podiums alongside his brother, Michael, who, you know, in equal machinery, they never were. Michael always had the Ferrari. You know, Ralph had to stick with the Williams, which, you know, was an okay package, but nothing on the kind of Ferrari dominance years. And you know what? It's just one of those drivers that, you know, if the opportunity to present... Stop. If the opportunity had presented itself, I think he would have been the fastest driver, greatest to ever do it, quicker than... Why are you laughing? sorry, producer Lewis laughed. Lewis, and it put me off, and I've taken 59 seconds.
I think a minute.
He was speaking slowly to fill up time.
Yeah, he was. He was
what do you mean?
I think he might have got.
I'm just trying to be
a podium
more concise with my words. Multiple. So I don't say all the time.
Yeah, no. To be fair, Ralph Schumacher actually was a pretty decent driver.
Well,
BMW Williams.
It was
cooking.
Pablo Montoya. And
but Mahad, you've got Michael Schumacher to go for.
Good luck, man.
1 minute, we go.
His name is Michael Schumacher. That's my argument. Michael Schumacher, second most wins in Formula One history, 7 titles, dragged that Benetton team to 2 titles. Then he said, completed F1. Let me go to Ferrari and fix that mess. Went over to Ferrari. Multiple titles in a row. Dragged that. If you see the Michael Schumacher documentary, this guy was in testing, driving in the dark in a Formula One car. If that ain't dedication to the craft, he built that car by his hand, with his own hands. One of the greatest Formula One cars of all time. And he said, Ross Brawn, Jean Todt, come with me. I'm going to bring you to the light. I'm going to bring you multiple titles. And he brought Maranello to the apex of Formula One. Michael Schumacher, one of the greatest drivers of all time.
That's one of the best things I've ever heard in my life.
That was from a McLaren fan that I hated Michael Schumacher growing up.
That was sick. He built a car with his own hands.
He crafted that.
He got the grease under his fingernails.
He mined the materials and built the car.
The raw, mate. Like, you know what? When you put it like that, it is mad. The fact that he won those titles with Benetton.
In a car where he should.
And saw Ferrari, and we know how much of a mess Ferrari are prepared to be. Yeah, we know that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But for someone to come in and turn it around and win 5 titles in a row.
Nuts.
But the major factor to that is that he brought his Benetton guys with him. Mm. He's like, I'm not dealing with you guys.
Well, cause it was,
I'm like,
was
I need to bring my people.
Yeah, yeah.
Jean-Todd was already there, but then Braun was Benetton, wasn't
Braun
he?
Braun was Benetton.
Yeah, yeah.
Brought a couple people from
him. Yeah.
But it took a while as well. It's not like it was instantaneous as well.
Yeah, because he joined 96, right?
Yeah.
What year did he... Was he Silverstone? He broke his...
99.
That was 99.
Because he really should have won the title then.
Yeah, Eddie Irvine nearly won it.
Yeah.
Imagine if Eddie Irvine won a Formula 1
in the history of Formula 1.
Yo.
Right there. That season killed me because I remember Coulthard and Hakkinen crashing into each other.
Yeah.
Austria. I was like, what's the point of this, man? What are you guys doing?
Coulthard was icy cold, man, when he was driving. Listen, he put himself about. Mm. So who do we think was telling the truth?
Yeah, first of all, for me, do you guys think that I was telling the truth there?
Okay, so
being honest.
How good of a job did Niren do? I guess that's that. I think that's more the question, because obviously it's Michael Schumacher. But what I'm saying is, who did the best
we
job?
We have wheel knowledge.
Who did the best job telling our story, respective? Because you did repeat yourself a lot.
I ran out of content very quickly. Like 20 seconds in, I was like, this guy crashed a lot.
You're meant to be promoting him, not talking about how many times he's...
No, but he only crashed a certain amount.
No.
It should have been more.
Okay, so that's a good... Okay.
It was under the value that it should have been. You get me?
I see.
So it
wasn't,
Mick had a budget cap just for himself.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, when you close your eyes at night, all you're going to see is F2 champion. Mix you
F2 champion. This is written there. I can see the graphic in my mind.
Okay.
Little reef.
What about me with Ralph?
I think you did a good job. you named the podium.
He's won some races.
You know what?
Man.
He got multiple podiums.
He's still underrated.
I was completely just assuming he's got multiple podiums. I don't actually know if that's true.
No, I think he definitely does.
Because that Williams and
that win a race.
0-1-0-2, that Williams was actually really good.
That's what I mean.
After that, don't know.
I've just opened a video on YouTube. How the hell have I managed that? No, I want to check how many.
No,
so,
6 wins.
Ahead of me.
Six wins, 27 podiums.
27 podiums.
Come on.
10 years, Peugeot.
8 fastest
Honda.
Laps. 6 poles.
I could have done a better job.
He's that guy, man.
My wheel knowledge needs some.
In fact, I didn't know we'd got that many podiums. I thought you had.
Yeah.
Do you know what I said? I would have said he is better than the majority of DF1 right now.
Yeah.
Probably.
Where would he finish? I think he would.
I do think he's underrated.
He is
for sure.
He's like top five.
He's just written off because he's not Michael. Yeah. You know what I mean? But actually, there's merit to Ralph for sure.
Yeah.
But I do think you did a very good job at like the nitty gritty of made Schumacher great.
I just think any driver that's doing testing at nighttime in a Formula One car.
That's outrageous.
They're insane behaviour.
That's pretty mad. Yeah,
that is crazy.
He's there till 10 PM.
So there we go, ladies and gentlemen. Confirmation that Michael Schumacher is the best Schumacher of all time. I know it was a burning question that was a lot of.
We're sorry, David.
It needed.
Yes. Oh, yeah. David as well. David. Anyone want to?
He's on his way
done
up
for him.
David Schumacher. He's on his way up, man. He's on his way up.
He's on the way. He's on the way. Next, Michael.
Right. Should we wrap it?
We shall indeed. That has been the Last Lap podcast. Thank you very much once again, Mahad, for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Let the people know. Where they can find
you. Where are you?
So, Pit.Fracker, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We're going to be doing a lot of content, so catch us on that. And McLaren Fan TV, same. We're going to be doing loads of content over the off-season, building up to the new season. And find us on YouTube and Twitter.
Pleasure. Thank you all for coming. Don't forget to, if you're on YouTube.
Yeah, if you're on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe. If you are listening on Spotify, give us a 5-star rating. If you're watching on SoundCloud, then this has definitely been pirated.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow us on TikTok as well. There's content over there, Insta, Twitter. You guys know the score by now. Until next time, in a bit.
Ciao, adios. We are done.
Bye, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, man. Good show.
That was good, man.
I love how everyone...
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.